We left off with the Ayat HaTzman Aleph. So the Mishnah taught us that once a person throws a get into the Aver, into the airspace of the woman, then the get is going to take effect, even though the get didn't actually land, as long as it's in a protected airspace. So then the Mishnah, to highlight this idea, the Mishnah said that even if the get is subsequently burnt, even though it never really landed into our hands, never landed even onto the ground, so the get would still be acceptable. So the Gemara qualifies that statement. Let's pick it up from on the Ayin Testament Aleph. The first one line is low, so it's about almost two-thirds of the way down. So the two dots, Nisraf. When do we say that the get is valid? That's if the get was thrown before the fire was lit. The get, but if there was already a raging fire there, and the get is tossed onto the area where there's a fire, lo, so then the get would not be acceptable by taima. That the get was initially over the kach to be burnt. It's if the get was thrown into the air, or it's about to land, everything looks like it's good, and then all of a sudden somebody leaves a beer chometz in the bottom. So then the get was already tofes, the get ready to cold in the airspace. But if there was a fire there beforehand, so then the get never really was going to land anyway, so the get would not be good. Amar Chisda gives us other halachas that govern the dinim of putting a get into a woman's property. Rishuyas chalukos begitin, that there are differences in terms of their chilukim, in terms of hilchos getin, that there are differences between different parts of property. So it's a very, very vague statement. What does that mean? That chilukim rishuyos begitin. So amalei, so where does the older man? He's referring to Rav Chisda. It's interesting because Rav Chisda happened to be Rabbi Chama's father-in-law, so he called him Saba, called him grandfather. So Rabbi Chama says to Rav Chisda, how do you know this? What exactly is this case that there are chiluke rishus to get them? So amalei, so it's based on the Mishnah that he I saw metas al rosh hagag, that if she was standing on top of the roof, vizarko lo, and then he throws her at the get, gave she gig get la avra gag raise mugareshes. So once the get enters into her airspace, so the get is going to be valid. So the Gemara now goes through the literal case, all the intricacies as to who owns what in this particular scenario. So Bimai Askina, what are we dealing with? Ilem begag dida, if she owns everything, she owns the roof and she owns the courtyard and everything. So lamali avragag. So why does the Mishnah say that the get only takes hold when it enters into her airspace in terms of the gag, even on the airspace of the chotzer should have sufficed. Ela begag didei v'chotzer didei. So presumably the Mishnah is referring to that he owns the roof and he owns the courtyard. The Gemara says, and the Mishnah also doesn't make any sense. So the fact that the get arrives in the airspace of the roof, why should that matter? So the bottom line is the Mishnah cannot mean that either one of the parties owns everything, because then the Mishnah would not be accurate. And Lapshita, so it's obvious that the only way to say Pshat in the Mishnah is Begag Dida V'chatzu Dideh. That she owns the roof and he owns the chatzir, he owns the courtyard. So therefore, the Mishnah makes a lot of sense. Once he throws the get, if it's still in his airspace, it's no good. Once it enters into her chatzir airspace, so that's a fulfillment of the nasa miyada. So the only way to make sense of the Mishnah is to stick the chatzir to be his and the gag, the roof, to be hers. Ema seifa. But now we have to look at the end of the Mishnah. Humilamala. What if he's on the top, himilamala, and she's on the bottom? Vizarkolad. He throws her the get. Kaven shiatz mishus agag. Once it leaves the airspace of the roof, nimchak on nisraf, if it gets erased or gets burned, erased mugureshes, the get would be valid. So here, the second half of the Mishnah is highlighting that once it leaves the gag and enters into the area of the chatzah, that's good enough. The ibegag didav chatzah today, if the end of the Mishnah is parallel to the beginning of the Mishnah, we're assuming that the Mishnah is talking about the same scenario. So if that's the case, that he owns the chatzah, mugureshes, so why in the world would the get be valid? So obviously you have to change the case. So in the sefer of the Mishnah, so it has to be that she owns the chotzer and he owns the roof. So the bottom line is there are two cases in the Mishnah. One case describes the get taking effect when it's in the roof. Well, the other takes describes the get taking effect when it's in the courtyard. So the answer is obviously that there are two different cases. One case he owns, whichever area she owns, that's where the get is going to be valid. So the Gemara thinks that for stylistic, that's a little bit bizarre. The Mishnah is written in riddles. That first half of the Mishnah is talking about one case. Then we're changing the tune of the gam, right? The point of the Mishnah is just to tell me that whenever it goes with the har rishus, it's chal. So why confuse us with roofs and courtyards and change the case on us? So Ella, the point of the Mishnah is as follows.
That's what
do. We think that's a mission. The goal is to try to unravel the mystery of the Mishnah. El alav the oshla makam. It must be that the whole Mishnah is talking about a different kind of a scenario. Namely, he owns everything. His name is really on both. But he's lending her room there. He's giving her access. So when I give you access to come in somewhere, that area is considered to be yours for the purposes of Kiddush Chatzer. So now the Mishnah is very meduyak. Now the Mishnah is trying to tell you, trying to highlight that he owns everything. He owns the roof, he owns the courtyard, he owns the he's the balabas and everything. But he's giving her an area, but he's only giving her one area. So when he says to her, I'll let you use my roof to receive your get, he meant the roof. He didn't mean the chotzer. One could have argued that maybe he doesn't get. Maybe he just wants to give her get and finish. So he mentioned one, but it really includes everything. So that's what the Mishnah says, no, I'll allow the oshna makom. The chad makom moshli inchi. That people, in general, the das of the of people is that when they say, go ahead, you can come into my courtyard. That means you can come to my court. That doesn't mean you come into my roof. If I say to you, okay, you can put some stuff down the roof, it doesn't mean you can put stuff down in my basement. So there, people are mocked on what they say. And that's what the Mishnah is trying to highlight, that even though he technically, the Mamas, owns both, if he gives a rishus for one of them, so if the get is delivered to that location, then the get would be chal, but otherwise it would not be affected.
In this case, the second part of the Mishnah, he's on the Gog, and when he leaves the Gog,
so once it goes,
that he gave her the Gog in the second half.
No, he didn't give her the Gog.
Gave her the Chatzah.
Gave her the Chatzah, right. Each case, he gave her different parts.
But that was a question on the
first explanation. Right, but originally the Gemara thought that to say that he owns in one case one thing and she owns the other, that the Gemara thought was bizarre. To say he owns everything and the Mishnah is just highlighting that he's giving her permission to use, to, so that the Gemara thought was acceptable. So Amalei, so the Gemara goes back to this Nehemiah area. That's the Raya. You're going to build a whole mountain out of a idea for the Mishnah that's talking about he's giving her one place at the other place. Duba Hakadis Fakadisa. Maybe the Mishnah's Kipshuto. That each case is different. Reisha begat didav v'chotzi today. The Reisha is talking about she owns the roof and he owns the courtyard. And Seifa begat didav v'chotzi didav. And in the Seifa, it's talking about the opposite case. So we're not going to be able to be medayek this whole razzle dazzle shtickle Torah about Rishus Chalukos just based on a diuk that's otherwise not necessarily a mucha. So Amar Rabba. So Rabba now goes back to other halachas concerning Gittin. Shalosh midos begittin. There are three different scenarios where some of the halachas that govern giving a get are different from other areas of halacha, particularly the realm of Hilchos Shabbos. We spoke a little bit about this earlier. And Hilchos Shabbos, there are also halachas of chotzer. That if I throw something from the Rishus HaRabim into the chotzer, so I'm chayev. So what's considered to be going into a chotzer? Is it exactly identical to Gittin? So that's what Rabbi says. No, there are some differences. So Hadamar Rabbi, so one of the differences we mentioned the previous year, Kluta K'mishahuncha U'pligi Rabbanan Alei. There was a big machlekes ha-tenor between Rebbe and the Rabbanon about the suya called klut kemishuncha. So we know that in order to be chayav and Shabbos, so you have to, for carrying on Shabbos, you have to do an akira and a hanocha, the first mishnah of Shabbos. You have to take an item out of Rosh Hashayochid and place it down Rosh Hashayochid, or vice versa, or carry it four amos in Rosh Hashayochid. But no matter what, one is not chayav and Shabbos unless one picks it up and one puts it down. Let's say, for example, if Reuven picks something up, and he's walking about to put it down, and somebody takes it out of Reuven's hands, so that he's not chayav and Shabbos, because he only did half the malacha. So comes the Gemara and tells us that there was a machlekes ha-tanoim. Let's say something doesn't literally land, but it's in midair, it's suspended in midair. So maybe that's considered to be a halacha equivalent of having stopped. So that's what the Mishnah, the Gemara describes. Let's say I'm throwing something from a Rishus HaRabim through a house, and it's going through. I'm throwing it through the window. I'm shooting my throwing my paper up through the window, and I start out in the street, and I throw it into the house, and then it goes right out in one window, out the other window, and it never landed, quote unquote, inside the house. So that was called kluta. It was being suspended in midair. Is that considered to have landed or not? So Rebbe says, yeah. Rebbe said that's as if it landed, and it's as if you carry it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And the Rabbanan said, not true. It's in motion. It's not stationary, and therefore you one would not be chayef for that. Comes the Gemara and says, "Hadi Amar Rebbe Klut Kmishu Chodam Kmishu Uncha." Even though Rebbe was of the opinion that we do apply that principle of Klut Kmishu Uncha, Upligi Rabbanan Alei, and the Rabbanan disagreed. Hadi Mil in Shabbos. That Machlekes was vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos. Aval Hocha, when it comes to Gittin, Mishum In Turehu V'ha Minter. Everybody would agree by Gittin that that's acceptable. For Gittin, you don't need a hanocha. It's not like a halachic hanocha. You have to put the get into the chatzin. The Torah tells us, v'nasim b'yada, and the Tosh Mapeh explains to us that b'yada is lav dafka b'yada. Our property is also yada. Like the Torah sometimes uses the phrase yad to refer to property. Like it says in Parshas Lukas, v'ikach is kol atso b'yado. The kaka tzich, they took all his land from his hand. He wasn't walking around with his land in his hand. So miyado means your jurisdiction, means things under your authority. So it's over here, but also miyado doesn't mean literally your hand. It can mean anything under her authority. The only thing is, it has to be watched. It has to be something that's secure. If you have an area that's not a secured area, that's going to be a problem. So here the Gemara says that even though the item is in midair, but it's secure, if the person tosses the get through the window into the house, so even though it hasn't quite landed yet, but it's being surrounded by walls on all sides, and therefore it's not going anywhere. So therefore that get is considered to be a valid get. Now the second halacha, where gittin and Shabbos part ways, the had yomer of Chizda, not kone b'shus ha-yokid, uv'rosh ha-traskol, v'zorek v'nachol gabov, afilu gavoa me'a abba chayov. Rav Chizda taught us halacha masech ha-Shabbos, that if a person has b'shus ha-yokid, so b'shus ha-yokid in Shabbos is defined by an area surrounded by b'chitzas. Where to most Rishonim, you require three mechitzas suffices. The Rabbi Paskin says you require four mechitzas, the Machlekes and the Gemara. Says every Machlekes had a basket. So Rav the Rishonim say you have an area surrounded on three sides by mechitzas, that's good enough. The mechitzas only have to be 10 tefachim. The Gemara says that's halacha Moshe Messina, that an area requires 10 tefachim mechitzas. That's due for Shabbos, Erev and Sukkah, etc. That's a din, halacha Moshe Messina of mechitzas. So if a person has an area that meets the criteria of being Rishus HaYochid, and now he takes a pole, and he sticks it into the Rishus HaYochid. The pole is 100 feet up in the air, and then he attaches a basket to the top of the pole, so it makes a little bit of a surface all the way at the top of the pole, and now he throws something from the street onto that surface. So the question is, did he throw into a Rishus HaYochid or not? So it's a little bit tricky. On the one hand, this area is not surrounded by walls, because the walls end over here, and the pole with the basket is 100 feet up. So that area where the item, the surface area where the item has landed, is not technically Rishus HaYochid. On the other hand, it's within the walls of the Rishus HaYochid. So that's Halacha Moshe Messinai, that we view the walls of the Rishus HaYochid as going all the way up to Shemayim. So we view it as if it, yes, is in Rishus HaYochid. So that's what Rav Chizda's famous din was, that no, it's called Rishus HaYochid. A guy sticks a pole in the middle of Rishus HaYochid. Of a Rosh HaTras, on the top is a basket. And then you throw something onto its surface. Afilu gavoh me'ama, even if it's 100 amas up, chayev. Why is that? Lefisha Rishus HaYochid ola ad l'rakia. Because the Rishus HaYochid goes all the way up to Shemayim. So says the Gemara, a parallel halacha would actually not be true in Hilchos Gittin. If a person would have to pull off the same stunt for a get and try to toss the get on top of that item, so even though the item is suspended above the airspace of the woman's property, that wouldn't work. Chani milin in Shabbos. Halacha mishum in turehu, v'halo minter. Hilchos Shabbos, so the halacha is it has to be in the Rishus HaYochid. So we have halacha Moshe Messina that Rishus HaYochid is olad l'rakia. But when it comes to Gittin, this is not a din of a Rishus HaYochid, it's a din of Shemiras HaGet. The whole goal of putting together into the Chatzer is that just as her hand is something that she's watching, that's like a Yad Mishtamer, so to a Chatzer has to be a Mishtameres. So if you put a get into above her ass, but there's nothing blocking it, there's no walls protecting it, so that would not be acceptable as a get. So here another example where Shabbos and Gittin part ways. So it's not that Shabbos is more Chomer or Gittin is more Chomer, they're different. That Gittin is a function of Shemira, Bein Lekula Bein Lechumra, and Shabbos is a function of Tachlis, the Maisa, has it made an official Hanukkah in a Rishus HaYochid. Then the Gemara continues with a third possible difference, the top of Ayin Tesla the Beis. V'had Yomer Rav Yehuda B'Shmuel, Lo Yamed Oda B'Gag Zeh, V'Yiklot Megishomim B'Gagol Shel Chaveiro. So here Shmuel is talking about the intricacies of a Din Midrabanan in terms of carrying on Shabbos. Min HaTorah, if you have two Rishus HaYochids that are adjacent one to another, you can carry from one to another. So if you have two houses that open in share the window, so you can go from one to another. You go from one shisiyach to another shisiyach. But the rabbanon, you're not allowed to do that. That was part of the takanas chacham that was made in the days Shlomo Melech and his Beis Din, that whenever you have different ownerships of different properties, even though technically they're all shisiyachids, it doesn't look right. It looks like you're carrying from one rishus to another rishus. It looks like you're going from A to B, even though in the Torah, everything is surrounded by walls. So in the Torah, it doesn't matter who owns the property. In the Rabbanon, it does make all the difference in the world. So I'm not allowed to carry from your house to my house on Shabbos. And for that reason, I'm not allowed to carry from, let's say, my private house to our public area. We have a chatzu, we have a backyard that we share. We have a courtyard that we have 10 tenants share the lobby of the building. So if I carry from one to another, that's called carrying from a rishus to a rishus. In order to solve this problem, so Shlomo Melech made up this takona that what we can do is we can make everybody one big happy family. So we make everybody join together to be one, and Shalom Yisrael. Then you're allowed to carry, again, assuming that you have walls, you're surrounded, there's no rishus or rabim issues, then you can carry from one to another because technically it's considered to be one rishus. The mechanism of making everybody one big happy family, like most other things in Judaism, is food. So you will, I don't mean most things, but that's what makes people happy. So you get everybody together to eat, put a little bit, make one big gala kiddush for everybody, so everyone becomes a one big happy family. So that's what we do. So we everybody chips in and buys a little piece of challah or a little piece of matzah, and we put it into one person's house, and we say, Shoyn, we now became a mechub yachad. That's what Erev Chatzeres is. So let's say when we make, we put wires and poles and fences and walls all around a giant area in Tidek. So we've now made it into a Rishus HaYochid, but we still can't carry there. Because even though it's a Rishus HaYochid, I can't carry from my house to your house. I can't carry from my house to the street unless we join forces and we make it into one big happy family. So everybody gives a little bit of bread, a little bit of matzah. They put it in one person's house. And that becomes now that's the communal living place. And therefore, now we can carry from one place to another. So anytime you have an Erev Chatzeres, we're invoking this principle, this old takana of Shlomo Melech. The Mishnah says that if you want to do it a little bit easier, so you don't have to actually go around every Friday and ask people to donate a challah roll, what you can do is one person will do it on behalf of everybody. One guy will go to the store, buy a box of matzahs, and he'll be mezakeh. He'll give it to somebody else to pick it up on behalf of everybody else in town. And then he'll hold on to the box of matzahs. That's also, Mishnah said, that's also acceptable to do that. That's what we do. So the Minhag Yisrael has become to always be mechadish Erev and Erev Pesach for a very simple reason. Matzahs get stale after a while. So you want the food is supposed to be edible. So every Erev Pesach, so the Rabbanim is supposed to make sure that they redo the Erev Chazeres, which is a good reminder to myself that I haven't not yet done redone the Erev Chazeres.
So who does every...
So usually what we do is that no, you really have one. You have one, whichever is considered to be within the walls of that Erev, really only has to have one. The issue in our communities is that we have multiple Erevin that connect to each other. So we have Tidek Burgerfeld really has two Erevin. There's one side of Route 4, and then there's the other side of Route 4. So the Tidek Burgerfeld Erev is really one, and then the other side Tidek Erev is a different Erev. There are connections between the two. We have underpasses and overpasses that we've linked together to enable people to walk to them. But theoretically, if one Erev fell down, the other Erev would still be good. Then we have other Erevin that are adjacent to where we are. So we have the Englewood Erev, Tenafly Erev. Then we have the other side. We go Hackensack, Paramus. We have a lot of Erevin that are touching and going from one to another. So we want to enable people to be able to walk wherever they want within this whole conglomerate of Erevin. So in addition to all the Erevin, we make one giant super-duper Bergen County, not for all Bergen County, but a significant part of Bergen County Erev. So that enables everybody. We don't want to rely just on that because if the Erev goes down in Paramus, we don't want to be bothered with other problems. Each Erev wants to maintain a little bit of individuality. On the other hand, we have to make a communal layer. So we have a couple of different boxes and matzahs situated in different places. But the Bergen County Erev is sitting, happens to be sitting in my house. So a good reminder before Monday to try to make another one. The box of matzahs is actually sitting in my house. The reason why I was devoted to put that box in my house is that there are two different practices about... there are two different practices as to where exactly to place the Erev. So on the one hand, you're really supposed to place it in a house. You're supposed to place it in the middle of the street. It's supposed to be placed in a house. So on the other hand, if you place it in a private house, if the guy goes away for Shabbos, so then the Erev will be inaccessible, and that could throw into question the whole Erev. So there were some communities in Europe that used to put the Erev in shul. That way the community doesn't go away, so the shul's always going to be functioning. So the problem with that is that some posts didn't like that because no one's living in the shul. So the question was, can that really count as an Erev? So there were two different practices in different communities. So we were able to Efshel Lekayim Shneihem because the shul was in my house. So it was always open. Even when I went away for the summer, the shul was still functioning. People always had accessibility. And it's nice, it's sitting in the kitchen. So it's my kitchen. So it's literally in my house. So that's what we did. So even though the truth is, well, once we built a new shul, so the thought was, okay, now maybe somebody else has to volunteer, but we still have one of the minyanim Shabbos morning still in my house. So for the foreseeable future, it's still the Arab is still in a good, safekeeping place. But afterwards, we'll worry about it.
Shur matzah?
Yes, I was. It doesn't have to be shur matzah, but it could be regular matzah. But I don't use shmur. I use just one of the 18-minute matzah, whatever matzah I have in the house. Save myself a few dollars on the shmur matzah.
You need to know we need the box here.
Okay.
So we have
the shalshus.
Okay. Some of the boys want to wash it,
and they
won't. So it's a problem. You guys have your own stuff here in the office, like
right. Concept, we only
took you pieces.
Good, good.
The rest is still there.
Okay. Yeah. You have to let people use it because the Gemara says if you have an Erev and nobody lets anybody else use it, then it's not Erev. That's a butler Erev. The whole goal of the Erev is it has to literally belong to somebody. There was one. What time it was last year, I noticed that somebody walked into my kitchen and opened up about and took some matzahs out. No one in my family. I don't know. So I guess there must be like a guest who also thought this was like a shtiebel. I don't know. Your mom should walk through some matzahs. So I had to replace that and replace the matzahs also. It's not so bad. There have been times over the years when I've come down Shabbos morning from my house. And there's a guy sitting having a cup of coffee at my dining room table, sitting and learning. It was a guest for Shabbos. He didn't know that he thought this was part of the shul, so he just assumed that he was sitting there. Gave him some ragaluch and everything. I don't want to make him feel bad. So then he realized afterwards. He realized he was in my living room. He felt a little bit embarrassed. Anyway, good. Anyway, back to the story. So the Gemara says that if you have houses that can't go from Reuven's house to Shimon's house, so the shaila is, can I go from Reuven's roof to Shimon's roof? That's the shaila. So what's the question? So the takana of the Erevin was when you have a place that people live. The question is, guys not living on the roof, guys living downstairs in the living room. But the question is, the roofs are connected, yeah. So do I say that just as the diurin, just as the dwelling places are separate downstairs, so that poses an issue upstairs as well. So Shmuel said, lo yamad ad begagzeh, a person should not stand on one roof, v'yiklod megisham begagel shel chavero. And he's going to, what is he getting off the other guy's roof? The other guy got a better collection of rain. The guy's got a better system up there. So he asked his friend, can he take some of his water that collected on his roof? So the Gemara says, you shouldn't do that. Shekashem should view in Chalukim Almata, the same way that the inhabitants, the people who live there, are separate on the bottom, and you can't go from one house to another. Kach diyu in Chalukim Almala, so too the diurin, the place that people live, are considered to be split on top as well. The Gemara says, Hani milin Shabbos. When do we make that statement that we look at each roof as separate and distinct? That's vis-a-vis the Shabbos. Well, in get, we shouldn't pay the hu, but kule hailo kapti inshi. Let's say if the husband has a couple of houses, he has roofs, and he says to his wife, okay, I'm going to toss you the get onto this roof, and then by mistake, he tosses it onto the other roof. The guy's such a captain, such a machped that he meant he's giving the wife the ability to climb up on the roof and have access to the get. The fact that it fell into different roofs, so most people aren't so machped on that, and therefore that would be included in the domain that now has been transferred to her. Amar Abaye, shtei chatzeros ulefnei mizum. What if you have two chatzeros, two courtyards, one which is you have to get through A in order to get to B? Panimi shalav v'chitzon shalai. The inner one is hers and the outer one is his. And the outer mechitzas are taller than the inner mechitzas. And now he throws her again. So now it's over her area, but it's not technically within her mechitzas. It's above the area where her mechitzas end, but it's still within his mechitzas. The Gemara says, that's okay. I raise Ugu Rashi. It's my time. Why is that? So the outer mechitzas are also protecting the inner area. In order to get to the inside, you got to go through both sets of mechitzas. So since the outer mechitzas are serving as also the internal mechitzas, that would be considered to be within her protected airspace. So however, this halacha is not true if you have two boxes, one inside another. You have two boxes, one inside the other. The inner one belongs to her. And the outer one is his. Now he throws her again. He says, even if it enters into the airspace of the box, that's no good. My time at the Halal Nach said that it hasn't landed. That the whole idea of an avir being acceptable That's an aver like a stationary area of a chotzer, because the walls are made for protection. The walls of a box are made to put things in the box. They're not made to as protection, so to speak. And they don't have that halacha of an aver chotzer. So the get will not be chal. My time hal dal halacha. It hasn't landed yet in the box. Yes, the gemara v'chinach may having. Even if it'll land in the box, that's no good. Kelev shel lekech, which is meicheru, that it is the halacha equivalent of a kli of a lekech inside of the premises of the mocher, which according to many opinions of Baba Basra would not be acceptable. So here, her box is her box, but it's inside his box. So that's like putting a barrel inside the mocher's reshus. That wouldn't work. That the outer box doesn't have any bottoms to it. So therefore, lemaisa, the inner box has its own entity. So the inner box can work as a kidin of a kli, and therefore it would be the equivalent of a chatzir. It doesn't have the halachas of a chatzir in terms of shmira, but it would at least work if it actually landed into the box prop. Okay, I guess we'll stop here with the boxes and the roofs. We'll wish everyone okay. We'll continue tomorrow just in terms of regular shi, and then we'll start a bit of manam.
What? This guy's lucky it wasn't in Florida. He may have gotten shot having a girlfriend.